Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Before we speak about the sacrament of confirmation, for those who are going to be confirmed, I'd like to say a few words about today's feast, the Sacred Heart of Jesus. When we read of in the Gospel that Jesus' bones were not broken, that is a very significant thing. When Jesus was dying on the cross, we know that he was the true Lamb of God, and that in the Old Testament, the Paschal Lamb, that Lamb without blemish, was a prefigurement of Christ. Now, if we read the Old Testament, we know that it was commanded of the Jews when they offered the Paschal Lamb, they were not to break any bone from that Paschal Lamb. And the interesting thing is, the more you study the Old Testament, you see how wonderfully all these things in the Old Testament were a prefigurement of Jesus. The Paschal Lamb. Very interestingly, when the Jews offered the Paschal Lamb, they would first cut its throat and bleed it out, and then they would skin it, and they would take a stick and place it in the lamb's head all the way down to his extremity, and they would open up the chest cavity with another stick. It couldn't be metal, it had to be wood. And little did they know, but in putting the stick through the head down to the extremities and across the chest, opening the chest cavity, the Paschal Lamb had a wooden cross over it. In the Old Testament, they practiced what was called waving. When they would offer sacrifice to God, they would take the victim and point it to the north, to the south, to the east, and to the west. They were making the sign of the cross. Little did they know what they were doing. The more you study the Old Testament, the more you'd be fascinated that the Jews, before the coming of Christ, were doing so many things that foretold Christ. It was related how Jacob, when he blessed his sons who were to be priests, he took his right hand and put it on the left shoulder and took his left hand, put on the right shoulder as he blessed them. He made the sign of the cross over them. We also have Moses praying to God for the victory of the Israelites, and with his own arms outstretched, he was making the sign of the cross. But the interesting thing about our Lord, as we read of, there were many, many prophecies made about Jesus. This unique event, this singular event in the history of mankind, when the Son of God would come down from heaven, become man, and be our Redeemer, that God was preparing for 4,000 years, this wonderful event, telling the prophets to reveal very detailed accounts of what the Messiah would do, what he would suffer. And one of these is that, and they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. The Roman soldiers who were crucifying our Lord, it was the custom in crucifixion to break the legs, to put them to death instantly if they were not dead yet. And they went contrary to custom when they did not break Jesus' legs. Now, the interesting thing about crucifixion is this. How does a person die by crucifixion? You're basically bleeding them out. When the hands are nailed and the feet are nailed, and they're hanging there, the whole weight of their body is being suspended by the nails, basically the blood of the person's body is flowing right out. But we know our Lord suffered more than that. He was cruelly scourged. He had a crown of thorns deeply pressing into his brow. And not only that, but he has suffered an intense agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. Our Lord's mouth was parched with thirst. Our Lord was suffering not only in body, but also in soul. And thus we know when Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We know the agony Jesus was suffering in body and soul. He, our Redeemer, was atoning for all of our sins. Now, it wasn't enough for God, our Lord Jesus, to suffer by shedding his blood on the cross. He wanted to shed every single drop of his blood. And thus, when they pierced his side and pierced his Sacred Heart, the last bit of blood that was in his body, in the heart, came forth. And that's why St. John makes witness to this. He says, not a bone of him shall you break, and they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. Why did our Lord do this? He did this because he loved us. He did this to show his infinite love for us. Now, being the Son of God, any act that he would have done would have had infinite satisfaction, infinite value. But no, he wanted to show us his excessive love for us by suffering. So on this Feast of the Sacred Heart, we think of the love that Jesus has for each and every one of us, his infinite love for us, and also his mercy. Now this ties into the sacrament of confirmation. Our Lord knows we're all weak. He knows our human weakness. And as his love for us has wonderfully provided for us, he's instituted the seven sacraments. Two Sundays ago, I was in Minnesota, as they say. Minnesota. They talk like they're from Sweden. And I was talking about how the apostles, when our Lord chose the men that were going to spread his gospel throughout the world, on a human level, he picked the most unqualified people. And he didn't take people who were smart, learned. He didn't take people who were wealthy. Didn't take people who were famous. No, he went to Galilee, and he chose these simple, ignorant fishermen. These are the people that are going to spread the gospel and spread his message throughout the world? Yes. Why? Why did he choose these least qualified people? To show that his church was not the work of man, but the work of God. Imagine this, these ignorant, weak, cowardly fishermen, after the coming of the Holy Ghost upon them on Pentecost, courageous, fearless, even to the point of dying and shedding their blood in a most cruel martyrdom, but setting that example that what they said was true, and they're willing to die for that, that Jesus had indeed risen from the dead. And when they preached, God gave them the power. The Holy Ghost was speaking through them and working through them, and they could speak in tongues. They could actually speak in their own native tongue, and everyone understood them in their own language. The people saw, this is the hand of God. This is something supernatural. Talking about the gift of tongues, I was driving out long distance going through St. Louis, Missouri, and after I prayed all my prayers, got to try to stay awake. That helps when you're driving to stay awake, you know. I turned on the radio and picked up this Protestant station. And just this one woman preacher, she was really, you know, speaking with very much fire. And she was speaking in tongues. And I radioed back on my walkie-talkie to one of the brothers. I said, what in the heck was that? I told him, turn on to the station, listen to what she's saying. It sounded something like what you do in the morning when you're gargling with mouthwash. You know, it wasn't anything intelligent. It was like, rawr, rawr. Whatever, it wasn't unintelligent. But why did God give this gift of tongues to the apostles? To help spread the faith. Once the faith was spread, the gift of tongues, they lost that gift. It wasn't there. It wasn't needed anymore in the church. During the history of the church, there were some saints who had that gift of tongues, but it was God gave that to help facilitate the spread of the gospel. But wonderfully how God provided for the apostles in their weakness, from being weak and cowardly, they became strong and courageous and enlightened. What the Holy Ghost did for the apostles, the Holy Ghost does for us when we can receive the sacrament of confirmation. It's not like you're going to speak in tongues, you better not, because if you do, I'm telling Father Casimir, exercise you kids, okay? We don't need the gift of tongues right now. It's not necessary. That's one of the signs of possession, so don't aspire to the gift of tongues. But remember, our Lord, his Sacred Heart, loves us, and he's provided for our weakness. We are oftentimes ignorant of what we should do. We're oftentimes weak when we, even though we know what God's will is, we're weak and we don't have the strength and courage to do it. But when you get confirmed, you're going to get an increase of sanctifying grace. You're going to get a special sacramental grace to make you a strong and perfect Christian and a soldier of Christ. You're going to get an increase of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost enlightens our mind. He strengthens our will to know and to do the will of God in our life. You'll become soldiers of Christ tonight. And that is where I'd like to exhort all of you. You're like the apostles to bear witness to Jesus and to the true faith. And remember, far more important than anything you say is how you live. If you live your faith, if you're practicing your faith, you're imitating Christ, people are going to notice that. And the thing is, there's something to that. So let us remember how important it is, how very important it is that as we get confirmed, we tell God with our whole heart that we're going to be loyal to Him. We're going to keep His commandments. We're going to receive the sacraments frequently because we're weak and we need His help. And we're going to pray our prayers every day. And we're going to fight that battle. When we talk about soldiers, being soldiers of Christ, we're not going to literally take out a sword or a gun. No, we're going to fight a spiritual battle against the world, the flesh, our own fallen human nature, and the devil. And we're going to fight that battle against sin. And not only that, but we're going to also help spread our Lord's message, spread His church to all those that we come in contact with. You know, I've read a lot of stories about conversions, very interesting stories. And it seems like there's one very important element in these people's conversions, being non-Catholic and becoming a part of Christ's one true church, the Catholic Church, and it's this. Somewhere along the line, there was a Catholic who gave a very good example, and that really impressed them. They saw that and said, there's something to that religion. There's something to that church. That's what the pagans of old said of the early Christians. Look at these Christians, how they love one another, how they practice the virtue of charity, how good they are. You could tell a Christian from the pagans, they're not the same. And how important it is in this day and age, which really people might drive cars and have cell phones or, you know, internet and all this fancy technology, but really today's people are pagan. Pagan. And how important it is that we be truly Catholics and followers of Christ and we not be pagan. Like I say, we got a battle to fight for our salvation. The devil's very clever. Once you get confirmed, don't think, the devil's not going to mess with me. Don't kid yourself. I tell those who are ordained to the priesthood, don't think now that you're a priest that it's going to be all over with. No, the devil's going to work even harder against you. And there's one last thing I'd like to share with all of you. You know, I don't come here very often. I don't know probably many of your names. Maybe you know your family name, etc. But it's always a pleasure to come here and see our young people growing, and it kind of reminds me of how quickly time goes by. That some of you have, you know, are growing into being young adults, etc. And what a great privilege and what a wonderful privilege it is for me to be able to administer the sacrament of confirmation to you, because you are the future of the church. I remember when I was a little boy, my brother got some seeds he had ordered from the mail, and he was planting his garden. Now I was about 5 years old, and I pestered him. I said, can I have some seeds? I want to plant my own garden. Get away. So finally, after I pestered him enough, in his great generosity, there were two seeds that got stepped on. They were smashed. And his great generosity said, here, you can have these two seeds. Thanks. That's what brothers are about. You know, they're charity, whatever. So I took these two seeds, these two corn seeds, sweet corn, and I went down. I wanted to make sure my garden was mixed to his garden. I dug the ground, put the seeds in there, patted it down, and to my great excitement, I went, in a week, there was corn growing there. And that was my beginning in my career in agriculture. The corn grew up, and I had got 2 ears of corn from those stalks. And it was really exciting to see that grow. Yes, I had a weed. I went out there every day, watered it, weeded it, took care of it, but it was really exciting to see it grow. And it's the same thing in a spiritual life. It is really exciting to see kids grow up into young men and young women who are Catholics and love their faith and are zealous for the faith, etc. But remember, just like a garden, you got to pull those weeds out. Don't let them get too deep, or they'd be very hard to pull out. And what does Jesus tell us? He said that he is the vine and we are the branches. Without him, we can do nothing. But with him, we can do all things. So let us remember, the world is very seductive, the devil's very clever, and we're very weak. Let us have great confidence that trusting our Lord and recognizing our own weakness, we will grow spiritually. We'll root up those weeds, those sins and faults and failings out of our lives, and we'll bring forth much fruit. And one last thing. What does Jesus tell us? He says, you know, if you produce good fruit, what's our Lord going to do? He's going to prune the tree. That's one of the things I wish I could learn how to do is prune trees. Got fruit trees, and they're just so overgrown, and sometimes we get apples that are just really small. But if we could prune those trees, we get big, huge apples. Why? Because you got so many branches that are wasted. But that's how God treats us. When we're bringing forth fruit, when we're doing good in our lives, God prunes our tree. He purifies us so that we can bring forth even more fruit. And don't be surprised when God allows crosses, sufferings, and difficulties in your life. Why? Because he's pruning the tree. I don't like to give long sermons, but I'll tell you one story about my tree getting pruned. I was in Australia having confirmations for Father Gilchrist. Had a great visit, nice people. Went to Brisbane and went Melbourne and Adelaide. On the way back, get to the airport, plenty of time. Waiting in line to finally get up to the counter. And the man at the ticket counter says, there's something wrong with your ticket. I said, I know. When I flew out, American Airlines had a problem with their computer, so they had to put me on a different airline, and maybe that kind of got a glitch into it, but I did pay for this ticket. He says, I know, but I can't process this ticket. I'll send it over to the service counter. I was there plenty of time. Hour and a half. Hour. 45 minutes. They still can't process my ticket. Half hour. And now it's getting time, we're going to close the door and the plane's going to take off. I'm thinking in my mind, if they can't process this ticket in an hour and a half, they're never going to do it. So I said, what else can I do? They said, well, you can buy another ticket. I said, okay, tell me how much it is going to be. Well, it'll be $1,585. So I said, okay, we'll figure this thing out later. Gave my credit card, and they said, well, you know what? We're not even sure if you can get on the flight right now because they have a cutoff time of a half hour. So they called the gate and said, we have one more passenger, and can you override the cutoff? They said, yes, we can. So I buy a new ticket. I have to go back to the ticket counter, get a tag on my bags. Now I'm really under crunch time. The ticket man says, I'm going to go with you to get through immigration and customs, whatever. And I tell you, we get through immigration and customs, and they're announcing Qantas Flight 15 for Los Angeles, last call, get on the flight, we're going to be closing the doors. I said, what gate is it? He says, 86. I look up, 86 and 87 are the last gates in Brisbane. It's like a 300-yard run. So I look at this ticket agent and says, can you run? He says, I sure can. We hauled. I mean, we were running. And I mean, we were running, and we did record time. And when we got there, I turned around and I said, I shook the guy's hand saying, hey, thanks for helping me get through. I got on that plane, I was dripping with sweat, and I was thinking, dear God, why? But God was pruning the tree. And what was neat was when I got to Los Angeles, they called my name and said, when you get off the plane, there'll be someone there to meet you. And the person from Qantas Airlines was there to say, listen, we know you had some problems in Australia. We're going to help you get through all the way through. I got refunded for my ticket. And the clever thing was this. Could have never imagined this, but this woman who was helping me get through and get my ticket all in order, She was Catholic, gave her a brown scapular, and after everything was cleared up, she says, "Father, I'd like to get your blessing before I go." I mean, what other ticket agent in LAX would ask for a blessing in front of everybody? I mean, I was impressed. So God has his reasons why he does things, etc. We don't always see the whole picture. But just remember this. After I confirm you by putting my hand on your head and anointing your forehead with chrism, I'm going to give you a slight slap on the cheek. Why? To remind you. Let us be ready and willing to suffer for our faith. That's how we show our love for our Lord. And not only that, but that's how we get purified. Just like gold is purified and by fire and becomes pure gold, that's how we get purified by suffering in the cross. So on this Feast of the Sacred Heart, let us remember how much Jesus loves us. Let's go to him with great trust and confidence. Let's thank him for the sacraments that we receive because he's doing this to help us to get to heaven. And those of you to be confirmed, remember, today is not just the end, it's the beginning. You're soldiers of Christ. Truly love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul, and be true soldiers for him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.